Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
Now, here's the deal. Today, as we're walking through this story, this text, we're going to be starting a new series we're calling Advance. And Advance is a vision and culture series. We're going to be talking about like what it looks like to be a church on mission. And why we are a church and what we want to be about. And so we're going to be talking about what God's going to be doing over the next couple of years as our church continues to take a step forward and advances together as a community. And then some things culturally that we just want to emphasize, say, this is what we really want to be about as a church. And the reason for that is because church is really important. Now, when I think about vacation, I know vacation church is kind of a big segue, right? When I think about vacation, it's going to be fall break next week. We're going to be kind of going on vacation as a family. And when I think about vacation, my favorite place for us to go to vacation is the beach. Anybody else feel me? Just nothing quite like, yep, beach people, we're here, right? And when we go to the beach, at least here in Nashville, Tennessee, most of us think about going down to somewhere south, the Gulf of Mexico, the Panhandle, like 30A or Gulf Shores or just somewhere along that like Gulf Coast. And most of us go on I-65, and every time I go on I-65, I'm on my way down, there's certain mile markers I'm looking for, and one of those is a sign, and this sign is like, it's always kind of like a tradition, I always kind of look for it. If I ever miss it, I kind of feel like I didn't do my due diligence on the trip, but the sign is like the sign, it's kind of famous, you drive by it, and the sign says this, it says, go to church, or the devil will get you, right? It says, go to church or the devil will get you. And it's kind of weird on a Sunday when you're driving to the beach to look at that and go, huh. Maybe Satan's after us this weekend, right? But I have this question every time I drive by that sign, because it's got a little red devil with a pitchfork kind of like smirking at you. Every time I drive past it, I always wonder, like, A, who owns that property? Like, who decided that it was going to be a really great idea? And B, has anybody ever gone to church because they saw that sign, right? Like, oh yeah, Satan's after me. I need to go to church because I saw a billboard. And I'm going to go because I saw that billboard. I'm going to go to church. And that's a really important question for us, right? Like, what reason should we have to go to church? Is it because Satan's going to get us or for some other reason? Like, why do we go to church at all? Is it because our parents told us to go and we like to have some friends and community, we go there, or it's the music's really great? Like, why do we go to church at all? And that's what we're going to be talking about today when it comes to our series. This is going to be our main topic today. It's like, why do we go to church? Now, if you're a person that grew up in church, you know the answer to every question in church is Jesus, right? So like, yes, Jesus is why we go to church, because Jesus died, and worship is central and critical to why we go to church. In fact, we're going to talk more about that next week, why worship is so important. But today, we're going to actually ask the underlying question, like, why do we go to church? Like, ultimately, why should we go to church instead of stay at home or listen to a podcast or just, like, read a devotional? Like, why is it important for us to come to church? And the reason I think it's so important for us to ask this question is because church attendance has continued to change and decline in our country. This is a known fact. In fact, what we find more and more is that people are identifying as nun. There's this article that's out there called The Rise of the Nuns. Not nuns like ladies who've devoted themselves to the service of God, but rather people who just say, I'm not any religious affiliation at all. Like, I'm not Catholic, I'm not Protestant, I'm not Mormon, I'm just nothing. And so you see this kind of like rise of secularism in our community, which has affected everybody, even people that go to church. There's kind of like this overall secular, non-religious kind of like mentality that many of us have. And so in the middle of all that, we see church attendance kind of declining in our country. And so some statistics that are interesting for us to kind of like have just in front of us is that census data has told us that in Nashville, Tennessee, known as the buckle of the Bible Belt, right? They say only 2 out of 10 people go to church on a Sunday morning. That's insane, right? There's churches on every corner, and yet we find that only 2 out of 10 people go to church on a Sunday morning. And recently, this is actually more disturbing to me, was that Lifeway has a research department. It's a pretty good research department. They found that of people that say that they are church, that they go to church, so that out of those 2 out of 10 people that go to church on a Sunday morning, those who actually claim, like, yeah, I'm actually a church-going, God-fearing person. I'm ready to go to church. I go to that. It's part of my life. That most people in that category go to church an average of 1.6 times a month. 1.6 times a month. So that means that even those out of the 2 out of 10 that go to church, most of those people go to church 1.6 times a month. Now, as a pastor, it's kind of self-serving. Like, we want people to go to church because, like, we're going to be there for sure. We want our friends to be there, right? And this is kind of our thing. But at the same time, like, why is it important for people to go to church? Since we seem to have declining options or declining attendance in many churches and patterns shifting. I mean, if you kind of think back to the way our parents did things and maybe even our own childhood, we used to go to church a lot more, right? I mean, 1.6 times, that's kind of funny. We actually went like more than that on a Sunday, right? People would go to church 2 times in the morning, church service, and then Sunday night church. Right? It's kind of like extra credit. And then people would actually come to church stuff throughout the week. They'd go to youth group and Wednesday night potluck and Bible study and choir rehearsal, and maybe go even do some kind of like outreach thing. So some people would even go to church like 6-7 times a week, right? So today, many of us just go once, maybe twice a month. So the question we need to ask as a community, like, what kind of culture do we want to have? That's what we're talking about when it comes to the Advance Initiative. Because what we believe about Advance is that it's a thing about us, that we all take a step forward in our affection for Jesus, that we all advance together as a church, that we want to be about gathering as a community of people to worship Jesus, that this is a core foundation as to who we are. And so this question, like, why should we go to church? Why does that matter? Is a really important one for us to wrestle with, because if we don't, it's going to just drift away from us. And we find here in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the book of Hebrews talking about why it's important for us to gather. So let's read it together. Verse 23, it says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we find the writer of Hebrews already dealing with people like not coming and gathering together. So he's addressing it. And we're going to find at least 3 things that are important to us. It's like the whys, why we come and gather together as believers. And the first is this: gathering helps us watch out for each other. Gathering helps us watch out for each other. So we see that here in verse 23 and 24. It says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful, and let us watch out for one another." Do you see that? It says, coming to church, being a part of a community, helps us watch out for one another. And the reason we need to do that is because it's very difficult to hold fast to our confession of who Jesus is. Everything in our culture tells us, hey, listen, none of that really matters. Everybody's getting graded on a curve anyway. You're just going to make it, or just kind of like, just do what you have to do to get in. And there's a whole lot of beliefs out there that are not the gospel. The gospel tells us that there's incredibly bad news. Every single one of us is a sinner. We're alienated and hostile to God, both by birth and by our actions. And yet, through Jesus, God has made it possible to find faith in Christ and find forgiveness of sins. And God has freely given that to us in Jesus. So we don't work at it. We aren't about doing religion. We're actually about knowing Jesus. And so this is a confession of our hope, and it's important that we hold fast to it. Because if we don't, it's easy for us to go one way or the other. We can become very legalistic and fall into error, or we can become very lax and not really, like, pursue Jesus with all of our heart. And so you find the antidote to that is community. So I want you to look at one really important word, one very small word in verse 24. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Let us, this word us, U-S, us," that word is critical. Because it talks about the very essence of what the church is about. The church is about us, plural, not just us as individuals, but a collective community of people watching over each other. See, there's incredible power in a culture. A culture can bring people into an incredibly healthy state of being. And it's important that a culture is formed intentionally around the people of God that draws us to be people who are faithful, because if we don't, we're going to quickly slide away. So this idea of us having great power is what God is giving us as his blessing so that we can be faithful. God is giving us people, real life people, to be together. That's one reason why the sign never works, right? Because signs don't change people's lives. Newsflash, right? We all know this. Signs do not change people's lives. What does? People and the gospel. The gospel and people change people. When you get around people that know about you and care about you and love you and watch over you, that will change your life. So we had a dinner last weekend for those who are our stakeholders. That's what we call people who are deeply invested into the life of our church. People who are partners, small group leaders, volunteers. And so we just kind of an invitation for those people and said, hey, come hear the heartbeat of our advance initiative, just kind of like a sneak preview. And one of the things we did is we actually said, hey, listen, why don't you share with the rest of us like what God's been doing in your life through our church and why you're here and how you got here. And so people just started standing up around the room. It's a really sweet moment where people kind of talk about what God's done in their life. And over again, I was really encouraged, but at the same time, just astounded by how many people said, when I came to the gospel church, I was in a valley. I was lonely, or I was walking through an incredibly difficult time, or I was in a time where I just felt like God was pretty far away. And then I came to this church, and people embraced me, and that is why I'm here. I was a little sad. I was like, they weren't like, I'm here because Mike is awesome, right? It wasn't that. It wasn't a whole lot of that. And it wasn't like, we're here because like Josh and Josh, the worship team, Roz, all of them, they just call straight fire down. Nobody said that. Zero people said that, honestly. The reason why people have said I'm here is because of these two little letters, U and S, us. They're like, somebody came. In fact, one person said, hope I'm not betraying confidence here. I think they said it publicly, so it's okay. I'm not going to say their name. But they said, I came, and I was like in one of the darkest seasons of my life. And I came to church, met some people. They were very, very nice. But when I came back the next week, they remembered my name, and they asked me about how my week was and what had happened when I went home. And I called my mom in tears saying, they know who I am. That's the power of us. See, here's the thing. God has given us what we need to pursue him, and it's both the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but it's also the gift of the church. And what God has done through a church is he's given us relationships so we can watch over each other. But here's the trick. You can't get it unless you're there. You can't have that kind of relationship unless you invest into that community. You can't be part of us if you're always gone. And this is why church is so critical, is that when you are gathered together with other people, what happens is you get a family, a community, and you get to be known. It's something you can't replicate almost any other place in this world. See, there's something about embodied relationship that just brings deepness of relationship with one another that Instagram can never do, right? Like social media is like a mile wide and an inch deep. Like you don't really get to know people through social media, even though all of us spend all this time. I saw this statistic last week that if things go as they currently are, people are going to spend something like 10 years of their life just on social media, which is insane, okay? We invest a lot of time in social media, and yet, It's not really deep relationship. Same is true with content. Our community is constantly telling you like, hey, listen, you can feel connected through the internet, but there's nothing quite like embodied, like person-to-person, face-to-face relationship with other people, this idea of us. A podcast can't give that to you. Listening to your favorite preacher may inspire you, but it'll only be very, very at a high level. It'll be about information or entertainment, but it won't let you go deeper. It won't be, I know this person's name and they know me, they see my face, they know my story. And so here's something I want us to understand as the gospel church, this cultural thing. I want us to take a step forward, every single one of us at the gospel church, to advance in our desire to be us. And here's what I mean by that. That we as a people, not as a staff or elders or even small group leaders, but that every single one of us who says, this is my church, that we would own this idea of being the church. That we press that down into our people so that when we see people coming in on a Sunday morning, that they would be known, that we remember their name. And I know, listen, I'm the worst at remembering people's names. I'm like terrible at it. I try so hard, especially when I get somebody's number, I put their first and last name in there, try to snap a picture when they're not looking, right? And I've never actually done that, but I do put first and last names. I'll like try to see if I can find them on social media so I can remember. I'll say their name three times in the conversation to get that like pressed in. Why? Because it's important. Why is it important? Because people are important. And the reason I keep driving ourselves back to this idea of us is that the scariest thing for me as a pastor who loves people is to think that somebody would come and feel unloved. They would come and be like, yeah, you've met me four times. Wow, that's loving. You don't even know my name. And I know it happens sometimes. But what would it look like if we said, no, we know, and we are helping other people hold on to their confession by the way that we walk with one another? Which brings us to our next thing, which is that gathering inspires us to love and do good works. So gathering not only helps us watch out for each other, but gathering inspires us to love and do good works. Let's go look back at verse 24. It says, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. So this idea of watching for each other not is only like the end in of itself, but it's to drive us to something else, which is to love and good works. Now, the word in Greek there for provoke, your Bible may have a different way that they translated that word. It may say to stir one another up. It's an idea of inciting, like drawing people to want to do something. It's the same kind of language that you'd use to talk about inciting a revolt, right? Stirring people up, causing a groundswell of people doing things. And that's the language that the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about, like what we're supposed to do in a gathering like this. That we're called to stir each other up, to be people that love others and do good works. Because this is the thing, the body of Christ is called to be a community of people that look like Jesus and love a community like Jesus. See, the cool thing about a church is that God gives a community, a church, to care for it, to be a light in it, to be a place where people go, wow, those people believe in a God and they live like it by the way that they love others and love each other and do good works for that community. That's one reason why we gather together as believers, because you can't just do that by serving outside of a church. There's something about being a part of a gathering that should stir us up. So as a community, as a church here, one of the things we believe about Sunday morning is that when we live out in the world, it's easy for us to drift towards being secular and to like kind of drift towards just being like everybody else we work with. But when we gather together as a body of believers on a Sunday morning, one of the things that God does within us is that it kind of reignites this passion for Jesus so that then we can take that passion and walk back out into the world. There's something about worship that inspires us to say, no, Jesus, you are better. That's why we sing songs that declare how beautiful Jesus is and how powerful he really is and what he really has done in us. And that inspires us. And so there's a great power in a community that says, this is what we want to be about. We're going to gather together so that then we can do this. And so you find the early church just modeling what this looks like, why gathering is really, really important. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, you see a picture of the early church. And what Acts tells us about the early church is this. It says, verse 6, it says, every day They devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. So they actually didn't go 1.6 times a month. They went every day, okay? 30 times. And it says they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. Here's a community that loves to be together. They love being the church together. And eventually, they didn't meet every day. This is like a specific time where they were like building up and training up people to send them out. But the idea is the same. They would gather so then they could get spread out to the city. And as that community burned hot, people were passionate for Jesus. And as they like loved one each other well, part of us and being a part of this community, they found incredible favor out there. So as they pursued God in here, they found great favor out there. Wouldn't that be cool about us? There's a community, as we draw close to each other and drive deeper into community with one another, as we gather regularly and we're known and love one another, that would be something that would be so powerful in here, so then people out there would hear what God is all about. We talk about being a community that's a missional community that wants to reach people for the gospel, but that really happens by having a passion in here first for God, that he would just overwhelm us with how good he is. That we just get fired up, that when worship happens, that we're like singing our guts out, and we don't care what people think about us because we're focused not on the people around us, but we're focused on Jesus. That there's this stirring up within us. See, you can't have a stirred up heart, an excited heart, a provoked heart for God and be cool, right? You can't be like, yeah, man, I'm cool, I'm Christian, it's kind of, you know, whatever. If you're fired up, you're no longer cool. I mean, it is cool to be fired up, but you're not the cool person doing your thing. No, when God has got your heart and you're fired up for Jesus, man, you're like, you're thrown down in worship. That's what's happening, right? Because you're incited for God. You're passionate. There's no coffee sipping when you're like in front of Jesus and you believe that he's hearing you and the God of the universe is paying attention to you, telling him how great he is. There's no cool in that. When you're on your knees weeping because God is showing you how much he loves you and he's revealing himself to you in worship, there's no coolness to that. It's just, God, you are holy and I am in awe of who you are. So part of gathering is that we get lost in Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We get stirred up with Jesus. There's passion in Jesus. And as a pastor, as your pastor, let me tell you, there's nothing I want more than for you to be desperately, madly, deeply in love with Jesus, that there's just a fire burning inside you. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me, that we'd be incited, that we would see Jesus and fall deeply in love with him. So let's just kill cool. Can we just come in here and be like, "It's we're not going to be cool around here. We're going to be fired up is what we're going to be. We're going to be deeply in love with Jesus is what we're going to be. Why? Because he paid my debt. And death does not hold me. And he is worthy and he knows my name and he hears my worship and I'm created for this. And this is what I'm about. That's why we go to church. Why? Because the stakes are high and we're on our own and we're going out into the world, and so we need to get fired up. Well, the third thing we see here is that gathering encourages us to be faithful. Verse 25 says, and not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. So the writer of Hebrews is like, hey, don't quit meeting with other believers, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, Jesus is coming back. Be faithful. And the way that you continue to have your sights set on heaven coming to earth is by thinking about it with other believers. And so as a Christian, the way you do that, to be faithful in the world, to be completely faithful to God, is by being a part of a body of believers. One of the things we've been saying through this series is that we want your heart to be God's. That's really what Advance is about. We want you to treasure Jesus. We want your treasure to be centered on Jesus. The thing that your heart treasures above everything else would be Jesus. And that's important because whatever our heart cares about, everything else in our life follows. That our treasure is Jesus. That's what he's about. And so this is my desire for you, is that you would take a step into that. Now, I know that some of you guys may be like, hey, listen, I'm a skeptic. I don't know if I should go to church that much as you're saying. Like, I should, but I don't know if it's here. And let me just tell you, we're fine with that. This principle of being part of an us, part of the church, fired up for the worship of God is actually for your good. So if it's not here, find somewhere. Like, we want you to be here. Don't hear me say that, okay? That we don't want you here. We want you desperately to be a part of this group. But if this isn't your group, find it. Because you are called to be a part of a body of believers, and it is incredible to be a part of a group like that. And when you go, get fully invested into it. And so for us as a community, gathering is a huge part of it. In fact, one of the things that we're going to be talking about a lot at the Gospel Church is this cultural element that we want to introduce to you. I'm just going to introduce you to it right now. We call it the 4 G's of the Gospel Church. If that's not good branding, I don't know what is. The 4 G's. All right, so if we're like, hey, listen, what's the Gospel Church about? 4 G's. And we've been talking about the first G, so let me just kind of walk through those 4 G's. It's kind of funny to say that. All right. So the 4 rhythms, these are like the rhythms of the Gospel Church, what we're really about, these 4 things that start with G. First is gather. We want to gather together and worship Christ and study the Bible. That's what we want to be about. Secondly, we want to grow deeper in our faith and community. So we want to not just gather, we also want to grow to know Jesus and grow as people in our affections for Jesus, grow deeper theologically and emotionally and spiritually. And then third, we want to give. We want to be a generous culture that gives our time, talent, and treasure to the mission of God, that we have just a open-handed philosophy about how we live life. Why? Because when we give ourselves away, we get back more than we ever thought. When we give our time and our resources and our energy, we worship through that. We just do. And God has given us an opportunity to be a very, very giving church, not just financially, but with our time and our treasures, the things we care about the most. God has called us to be people who are just generous. And lastly, we want to go, which means we want to go to the nations. We want to go to our workplaces. We want to go to our community. We want to go to our friendships as people who are sent by Jesus to go to all nations. And with these 4 rhythms, we have 6 kind of big initiatives that we want to have with each one of them. And we're not going to go through all of them today. In fact, there's actually going to be a booklet at the back. You can look through all this stuff. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be like kind of walking through one of these 4 rhythms every Sunday during this series, unpacking what it means for us as a church, just kind of like what we did with Gather. And then we're going to be talking through like some of the things that we're going to do with these initiatives to make it happen. Because as we talk about vision casting, we want vision casting not just to be like, hey, pie in the sky, we hope this is going to happen. But for us with Advance, is we want to say we want to advance together as a community. And what does that look like for us to do that practically in the next 2 to 3 years? Because this is what I know. Last time we did this, we had a vision initiative. We called it Arise, also with an A. Everybody's joking, like, what's the next one going to be called, right? Every 2 to 3 years, we're kind of like going to enroll this. And the last one we did, we kind of like put the vision out there like 20 to 30 years out, which in Nashville, most people are not going to be around in 20 to 30 years. Let's be honest, right? Everybody's like here for a season, it seems. And so what we're doing right now is we're saying, in the next 2 to 3 years, what does it look like for us to all advance together to make a difference in this city? Really clearly. Like, what does it look like? And so we've been saying, all right, we're going to do like kind of 10 big ideas. 4 of those are these rhythms I just took you through, the 4 G's. Gather, grow, give, and go. Paired with those, there are 6 initiatives. And today I'm just going to share with you the first one. And it's basically everything we've been talking about today. The first initiative is this. We want to create appealing and life-changing ministry environments to gather and grow people as worshipers, mature disciples. What that means is we want Sundays to be an irresistible place where we can know each other, declare that Jesus is better, and draw people in. We want to invest in that. We want to double down in making Sunday mornings a place where people fall in love with Jesus and know each other and become us. That's what we want. And so when it comes to the vision in advance, what we're doing is we're saying, this is what it looks like. This is why we're doing it. And we want you to advance with us in it. So you may say, what does that look like for me to advance in that with you? It's this. We want you to be somebody who makes Sunday irresistible by the way that you conduct yourself here. That you're somebody who says, I'm invested in worshiping Jesus. I'm going to be someone who is on mission when I'm here. That when you see people coming in by themselves or they're a guest, that you make the effort to befriend them, because that relationship that you're making is being like Christ to somebody else. And you never know who's walking through that door. That next person that walks through that door might be your next best friend. They might be lifelong friends. You raise your children together and you guys walk with, and you see God do something beautiful through that relationship. But it happens by taking that step and being someone who advances together. We want you to be someone who's here. Listen, you being here makes a really big difference. Why? Because when you're here, you actually can be a relationship with somebody else. Your presence matters. We want you to be here. So choose to go to church every Sunday. Is that a radical statement? I don't think it is. Choose to go to church. Even if you're out of town, go worship with somebody. Go worship. Why? Because when you go, you're going to encourage them and you're going to tell them that Jesus is better, and you're going to be a source of life with whatever church you go visit at when you're out of town. It's important to be connected in the body of believers. I remember when I was in college, there was a season where I was unchurched. I remember feeling just so disconnected from Jesus. Like, I just kind of was like, my quiet times were just bad. I started sliding into some pretty bad, like, sinful behavior. Why? Because I just wasn't connected to a group of people. I wasn't connected to an us. When you're deeply connected and invested into a group like that, you make a difference. Third, we're going to be working on ways to actually bring this out into our community of connecting. So one of our goals is we're going to have an app. I know we're just talking about, like, internet. For us, it's like not an app where you can actually, like, say, hey, I'm going to just be using this when I'm outside of the church. We actually want to use an app where you can use it here to communicate ways for you to go deeper, what's going on, announce what we're doing, find next steps for people to take, because we think that that's going to be an easy way for us to say, let's leverage what we have technologically so that we can get people to get more relationally connected in person. And then lastly, we're just going to try to invest deeply into our city. So I think the biggest thing that will help us reach people in this city is not a sign. There's nothing wrong with a sign. Remember the story I told you at the beginning? Go to church or the devil is going to get you. Remember that? A sign never changes somebody's life, or very rarely. But you know what does? Is people. So my invitation to every single one of us is to say, I am going to be a living billboard of the living God. That I'm going to be a billboard so that when people see me, they get to actually experience just a little bit of Jesus. And it's not because you're awesome. In fact, it's because you're probably very broken and you're not perfect. But the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus calls imperfect people to be his children. Every single one of us is imperfect, and it's our imperfections that show that there's a beautiful Savior. And so my invitation to you is to be someone who goes out into the world, into the community, and just lives the gospel so that others can experience how beautiful and wonderful and majestic Jesus really is, and then draw them into a community where they can also experience that, not just with your life, but through your friends, so that they can experience him and be transformed by Jesus and then go back out into their community and do the same. That's why we gather, because a gathering of people is a testimony to who God is. That's what it is about. When we gather, we proclaim that there's a better king, that he loves us, and that he's enough. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being a God who's not just words on a page or a list of do's and don'ts and things that we're supposed to do to make sure that we're good with you, but rather that you're a Father who reveals himself to us through the word and through relationships, but mostly just through yourself, because you offer a real relationship with yourself. And Jesus, as we gather together, we just want to declare that. We want to declare that you are a good Father, and you know our name, and you've called us to be your own, and you've declared over us that we are no longer people who are broken or alone or people who have no future or hope, but you've said your future is incredibly bright because I'm with you. So God, would you just stir up within us a passion for your name right now as we respond in worship, as we've been talking about what it looks like to be people who are inspired for the passion of Jesus, that we are inspired to be a light, a burning light in the community, that you would just birth that in us right now as we respond, that you would just like call us into just incredible affection, that we lay aside any kind of like feeling that we're above the worship or that we're observing the worship or watching other people worship or that we're cool, but that we would just say, no, I'm actually in the presence of the living God right now. And that he's here. And I get to declare right now that I love him. And I don't care who knows. That I'm going to get a little undignified before the Lord, because it's not about me and my dignity, but it's about Jesus and what he's done for me. And that he loves me. And that he sent me out to the world. And so right now, Jesus, just put your presence on this worship time. That you would just do that within us right now as we stand to worship. You guys can stand right now with me. As we stand to worship, that this place would ring, Jesus, with your praise, because you are worthy. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.